Praise God for His amazing presence in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. I welcome you all to the church service this morning. Those of us who are here in person and those of us who are here attending and watching live or watching later online, thank you for joining us today. It is such a beautiful thing to see that we have reached almost the end of the year. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in the last week of the month of November. And next month will be our last month of this year. And 2021 will be over. I remember how excited we were that 2020 was getting over. Nobody had issues that 2020 was getting over. And they were excited for 2021. But then when we get into 2021, not much has changed. But I thank God that we are able to gather together and worship God. Amen. And thank God that there's something special about gathering in person and fellowshipping with one another. So it is a blessing for me to be here. Amen. Praise God. This morning, we're going to take a look at Psalm 93. It's a small psalm. And we have the Lord's table in front of us. So we need to honor that as well. This psalm is a psalm that is called a theocratic psalm. A theocratic psalm is a psalm that is talking about God being God. Now that's of course God is God, but this is a song that is talking about how great and majestic God is. You know, this morning when we sang that song, our God is an awesome God. We remember, our God is an awesome God. I always have a problem with the word awesome. I don't know if you have that problem, but I've always felt like our God is not awesome. He's full of awe, so he should be awful. But that word doesn't make sense in English because is our God awful? No, he's full of awe. But then think about it. Being full of awe should strike us with fear. Right? I think maybe that's the reason why this word awful comes about. Why is that awful? It's full of awe. If something is full of awe, what does awe mean? We are awestruck with wonder. Awestruck. It's, you know, being struck with something, is that ever a good thing? Yeah, we're struck with awe. We're awestruck. God's awe should strike us because it is full of awe. Nobody can approach God because he's living in unapproachable light. Think about that. The sun's light fades in comparison to God's light. And God's majesty was proclaimed from the very beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so when we start reading this psalm, it is talking about the ruling of God over all the earth, the theocracy of God. So it's called a theocratic psalm. There are a few psalms that are theocratic. One is Psalm 47. Then there is Psalm 93. Then Psalm 95 to 99 are considered theocratic songs, psalms. So this is a psalm that is usually grouped together with Psalms 95 to 99. This is a psalm that Levites, even today, read on every Friday. So this is a psalm that is read even by Jewish people at the start of the Sabbath. The Sabbath starts when? On Saturday? No. It starts on Friday. Sundown, when the sun goes down on Friday, is when Sabbath starts, and it ends on Saturday when the sun goes down. So Jewish calendar or a Jewish day does not start when the sun rises, different from ours. The Jewish calendar, the day starts when the sun sets. Okay? So when the sun sets and then the sun rises is when their day begins. I know it's backwards for us. For us, we wake up in the morning and so the sun rises. That's when our day begins. But the Jewish people think the other way. Everything is upside down with the Jewish people. Okay, so for them, the Sabbath, the Friday is when they start singing the psalm, talking about the greatness of God. Let us read the psalm together. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. This psalm is talking about how God established land. How God established, the word there, the world, it's actually haaretz, which is land or the world, which is in Hebrew. But here he's saying that it is firm and secure. Now, when God created the earth and heavens, what was covering the earth? The waters. Was there land? There was land, but it was covered. The earth was covered by water. It was water that hovered over the earth. But you see that this water had a lot of chaotic elements in it. It was topsy and turvy, and it was wave, and it was chaotic. There was no order to it. So God is a God of order, and he ruled over the waters and told the waters to be lifted up. So that is why when we come to verse 2, it says, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. And verse 3, the seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. You know, right now we know that in the province of British Columbia, what's going on? There's a lot of flooding that's happening. The weather people will tell you, how is that flooding happening? What happened? What caused about this flooding? There's something called atmospheric rivers. So there are rivers that are coming through the atmosphere. So not through the ground, but through the atmosphere. And it's draining their water into certain places in the province of British Columbia. It's atmospheric rivers that are causing flooding. This morning when I opened my app, there was a notification from the Weather Network in Canada, and they were saying how more atmospheric rivers are making their way to BC. So a great deluge. Deluge means what? A huge flood, a massive flood. A great deluge is going to come and happen in BC again. The reason why I'm sharing this is because water is destructive. A water can even erode mountains. It creates valleys. Wherever it goes, it erodes things and destroys things. The world was destroyed once because of water. But even before that world was destroyed in Noah's time, the waters covered over the earth. And so it seems like that this is too chaotic. It is too chaotic for anyone to control. And God's saying that I am robed in majesty and the waters will listen to me. You see, even the waters have to listen to the voice and the command of God. Jesus in the New Testament was laying his head inside a boat. And while the waters were shaking and rushing in the Sea of Galilee, and water was coming inside the boat, the disciples said, do you not care that we are about to be destroyed? But they did not know that the person who created the waters, the one who commanded with the voice over the waters, waters part so that the land will come forth, is the one who's sleeping in their boat. And he got up and said, waters be still, waves be still. And what the disciples answers, who is he that the waters listen to him? Some of Jesus' greatest miracles on earth revolved around water. He showed that even he's able to change the chemical structure of water. He is able to walk on water. He is able to bend the physical properties of water. Our God is a God who changes and commands his creation. Verse 4, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is majesty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This morning, God wanted me to remind you that if God is leading you to a place where you are surrounded by waters, you're not alone. The God of Moses that parted the waters, the God of Moses that parted the waters, will part the waters in front of you. God is saying, the Egyptians you see today, you shall see no more. Our God is a God who does not do anything without purpose. Everything he does is with purpose. You know, when we read in Exodus, not taking that portion, it is said that God led them into a different route. Instead of taking them through an easier route to Egypt, he took them through a different route and brought them to a dead end. But it looked like a dead end with physical eyes. Around them, in front of them, is the water. Around them are mountains. And behind them is the army of Egypt with Pharaoh leading them. But then Moses starts step friends and asks, God, why did you lead us here? What is your purpose? God says, what is in your hand? And then Moses looks at the hand and starts moving forward. Children of God, if God has led you to a spot where everyone else thinks that you are at a dead end, do not give up. Our God is a God who makes doors where there are no doors. Our God is a God who makes highways in the desert. Our God is a God who parts the waters and makes his children walk on dry land. That God that we serve is adorned in his majesty. He is holy and he is adorned in holiness. And we have to worship him this morning because he alone is worthy to receive our glory and praise. This morning, this God, verse 2 says, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But there is no beginning with God. There is no end with God. For all time, God is God. He is King and seated on his throne. In light of that, what is our problem? In light of that, who are we? So let us surrender our lives to this great God and ask him to continue to lead us. And if you need a breakthrough this morning, hold on to the promise that God has given you. If God said he will let you reach the promised land, hold on to that promise. He is not done with you yet. He is not done with you yet. The Egyptian you have been has been chasing you all your life, today it'll be gone. They shall be no more. Amen. Let us receive that promise. Father God, we thank you for your promise. I pray this over our church. Father, whatever circumstances we might be facing, Lord, as we come close to the year, it seems like all this time we have been chased and we have nowhere to turn to. It seems like we have come to a dead end. But Lord, we lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You are the one who established the earth. Your throne is from eternity to eternity. We look towards you, and those who look to you will not be ashamed. We ask you, Father, to guide us and to lead us into your path forevermore. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.